Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you today, Lord, for this fine, cool weather. We know, Lord, the earth is travailing in many countries, O Lord. On this planet Earth, Father, are suffering, Lord, from flooding, from forest fire, from earthquakes, from droughts. Lord, we know there are many other disasters, O Lord, that are happening around the world. We have heard lately of plane crashes, Lord, and accidents. We know, Lord, there have been also, Lord, political unrest in many other countries too, Lord, and the systems of man, O Father. Perhaps, Lord, is not so balanced in the cares of the poor. And as the earth travails, mankind are travailing, O Lord, for something, O Lord, that can satisfy this life. Oh, we are thankful, Father, today, as a people that we stand here before you, Lord, and sit under your feet to learn. We are thankful for you, Lord, for your grace that reaches down to us, Lord, and calls us out from this world of sin, that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus. For the great propitiations, O Lord, of his blood that thou hast shed, O Lord, at Calvary's cross for us. We thank you, Lord. And now, Father, because our sins are taken away and cared for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are thankful, Lord, that thou hast given us the Holy Ghost, we enter into thy tabernacle right now, Father, with a clear conscience, Lord. To come sin under your feet and know that thou art our Father, and we can cry out unto thee, Abba, Father. And oh, the Lord, you hear our prayer and you are in the midst of us and being with us right now, Lord, as we learn from thee. We ask for your touch, Father, as we look in thy word and some of the questions and things that have been on the minds of different ones, oh Lord, and we just want to touch upon one or two of this subject today, Lord, and we pray that you just touch and help us understand now. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we pray. Amen. All right, baby, so then, and we want to go to the book of Genesis. Oh, I'll take a deep breath if you feel that you are going to get a little sleepy in this weather, all right? Genesis, now, we want to touch on the subject about man, woman, subject about issues of this morality and about, you know, creation. So why there is this the male sex and the female sex and, you know, the problem with, sexual life and thing that is bothering a lot of people. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we read just this particular verse here that says, that, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. Now, the Bible here tells us in the first chapter that God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, we know there was nothing, and God makes something out of nothing. And how that in the first chapter we see this creation being brought forth, and there is this word we read in the Bible says create, and God create. Let's go to the word. We find the word creation here, or word create in verse 27, for example, is where you find one of the word here, create. And so God created man in his own image. The word create. Now if you find another place in the same chapter, you will find the word made. Verse 26, let us make man. Now, the word make and the word create. Now to a lot of people, when I was in the denomination, they said these two words, they are different. Create is to make something out of nothing. And when the Bible says the word make is to make something out of something. Now, I think that when I was in denomination, I thought that was what was supposed to be. But I realized it wasn't so. Okay? Make and create is not much of a difference. Create is to fashion, you know, is to bring forth something that you want, that is on your mind. Make is to put yourself into action, rather, to do it. But no matter what, your definition dictionary will say almost all the same. But they are actually not much of a difference. Okay? So now, in the next verse, we want to go to is in chapter 2. verse 21, or 20 to 21. And Adam gave name all the cattle and to the fowl, give names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not fowl a help to meet his need, or help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So, here now, God make a woman. So, here we, you know, now let me say this, it has been quite a problem among people in the end time message. They do not understand what Brother Branham was teaching. And you know, Brother Branham goes to the pulpit and many times he just said about the spoken word, you know, the emphasis is upon the spoken word. And we know, and you have heard me preach on it, if you have not understanding, go on back and read the message. Called Speak the Word, and try to understand the importance about the spoken word. Everything that brought forth by God came about by spoken word. Do you agree with that? Let there be the star, let there be the heaven. Then when God created the earth, and then we know that when the Bible said, God said, let there be Adam. Of course, God created Adam by spoken word. Then when then the Bible said in chapter 2, he formed a body for Adam from the dust of the ground. Now, that's more the action of making, right? Using the hand, rather than the spoken word. Is that alright? So he fashioned it out of the dust of the ground. I mean, if God wants to, he could just speak the word to the dust. Adam will come forth, rather than the Bible says he formed man, isn't it? He formed means he has to use his hand. I mean, does God have a hand? If you tell me that God doesn't have a hand, then we have a problem. Isn't it so? Sure, God have a hand. And he formed man out of the dust of the ground. Yet, and then he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Is that right? And Adam became a living soul. So, when we look into this, we want to understand that if you want to have your mind to imagine anything, when you read the Bible, of course, when we read books, we read novels, or read the paper, we want to imagine how the whole scene is all about. So, you want to imagine this. Okay, God then takes some dust and make a body for Adam. And then he breathed into this nostril of this dust, body of dust, and then Adam became a living soul. Okay, this is what we have a picture. Correct? But on another hand, in another sense, well, God doesn't really have to do that. You understand? The Bible is trying to depict about life coming forth from the dust. Yes, God could have just said, Adam come forth from the dust. He could. Alright, so if you want to imagine why he used his hand to form, or he just speak the word, as the Bible says, form in a sense as to show you the action of how they was brought from the dust. Fine. So what we most important thing it is the spoken word. Life comes from the spoken word. We all understand. Everything came from the spoken word. So now the thing is this, is that the problem is that every time there is such a big noise, I didn't realize that until yesterday. I was looking at some link that was given to me, and then I was on the YouTube. Okay, I was on the YouTube looking at some of these clips, and then, okay, then I was thinking, I was thinking about the original, the serpent seed, you know. Hey, I touched the serpent seed, how come there was a video clip of mine on the YouTube? I don't post it, because I don't know how to go and put all this thing up, and there's a lot of work to edit the thing and then put it up, you know. And somebody put a chart on my chart, alright, about this, the seed kind, alright, the three kinds of seeds, you know, you have it in my book on the, from the original seed. So somebody put it up there, I saw a thumbnail, and then I clicked on it, and all it was all this chart alone. And then there was a voice that sounds like a woman. And I was strange, what, a woman preaching this? Using my chart? You know, now listen. No, it was a mechanical voice. It's actually what we call voice recognition software that it reads for you. So, whoever the brothers or sister who posted that up, actually word recognition software, they convert from text into a voice. You understand? And it was actually scanning, reading through the whole of my books from the original sin book. So part one, part two, part four, part five. You know, when I hear that, I say, oh, okay, it was, you know, software that was reading it. And then I look at some of the comments, and I said, well, this is one of the best teaching on this subject. And another guy said, well, why can't it be a human voice? And it's so mechanical and things like that, you know. And then while I look at it, I said, okay, let me see. Okay, everybody's talking about, of course, there are some that disagree, you know. And then I sort of type my name on it, Richard Gunn. My goodness, there's so many things on Richard Gunn out there. Pro and the cons of Richard Gunn, and somebody have forum and attack me like nothing, nobody's business, you know. And the body guard, there is always the defend and those that always the attack. So I said, wow, you know. And I was thinking about this, that if you want to go on the internet, and if you want to look a lot onto some of these anti-message website regarding the spoken word issue about creating life, okay? And you all know one of the subject that was attacked, a lot of attack against me was based on the issue that I do not believe what Brother Branham said about speaking to the dust on the ground to bring forth life, right? This is a very important issue to many. But the problem about these foolish Branhamites is that they do not understand what Brother Branham was actually saying. You know, Brother Branham, they quote what Brother Branham said. They have many quotes. Brother Branham said, you know, if he could only wait, you know, like Mary waited. You see, but Eve couldn't wait, and so she went and have a sex, and then, you see, brought forth death. But Mary waited and brought forth life, Jesus Christ. And Mary waited for the spoken word, and therefore brought forth Christ. But you see, Eve did not wait, and so she went for sex, and then brought forth death. So sex, anything that came through sex is death. Now you know, Brother Ben somewhat talks about things like this. But it doesn't mean what, it doesn't mean in that sense. Today, everyone that came out into this world, born into this world, came through the desire of our parents. Is that right? We all came through sex. Like it or not, it's after the fall. Am I right? So of course it's death. Because the Bible said, because all that are born of woman, all of us are born of woman, isn't it? It's death. Full of war and it's death. But how many of us here are born of a man? Are you born of a man? Are you? No, I am. I'm born of Christ Jesus Christ. By that one man, it gave me life eternal. That's why the Bible used these figurative words, and people don't understand. Why did the Bible say came born from a woman and born from that? I mean, we don't come from our father. We came from our father and mother, isn't it? But what the Bible mentioned about woman is because of what happened in God. That's why Jesus Christ came. And we must be born of Christ. Born of His Word. And then you have eternal life. He is the Word of life. So we need to understand this sort of thing. You know, sometimes I wonder what kind of preacher we have. That doesn't be called Brother Branham without an understanding. And Brother Branham always talk about spoken word is life. Yes, we all come to a spoken word. Yeah, that is true. You see, Jesus said, Lazarus come from that spoken word. You know, but we all came after us, after sin, after the fall. Of course, we all came to sex, and we all have sinned, definitely. But before that, before sin ever came, to say that sex was not part of God's plan, something is wrong. But we use the word sex, don't use the word sex as a dirty sex, illicit sex. That means to say, Eve went to the serpent, that is the wrong kind of sex. And God only intended it to be. But for Adam and Eve to have sex, to bring forth children, alright, according to the plan and the purpose of God, how could He bring forth them? You know, I'm so sick of some of this preacher that are just destroying the life of the congregation. Or the understanding of the congregation. I went to, because you know, a brother asked me to send me this link that his brother forwarded to him. Asked me to go and listen to it because he said, this preacher destroyed Brother Gunn's teaching. You see? And well, I said, I don't have to listen to it because if it comes from Brother Mike, it's just the same. But anyway, I decided to go and download in the MP3 and listen to it. And of course, I just forward to one particular section. You know, it's just MP3. I just forward to a certain part and listen. In that one part already, the answer is given to me. The whole congregation will say, Amen. When the preacher said, you see, if Mary could wait, why can't Eve wait? You see, the prophet said, it's the spoken word that gives life, not sex. But that's not the way to teach. And the people, he asked the congregation, can you say amen? Can you say amen, brother and sister? Of course, they all sit on there, amen, amen. You know, they don't understand or think. If, let us look at what the Bible says. If Adam and Eve was not supposed to have sex before the fall. Huh? Of course, having sex after the fall is a different issue, isn't it? Because sin already came. But according to the Bible said God made them male and female. Why did God make them male and female? If it was a man to be sex, the union between the male and female, you know what a seed is? As in it is seed. I'm not talking about your apple seed or your mango seed. I'm talking about seed, sperma, in a Greek word. That's why the word Greek word, when we say seed, it's kind of highly confused, isn't it? When you say seed, when you take a, when you take a, say for example, you take, okay, a mango seed. Okay, or you take a flower, for example. You look at a flower. Where is the seed of the flower? It says it's in the bottom of where the, where it has a storage place like an ovary, and then on the top of it, like a hibiscus flower, you have a stigma. So we said the seed is a female, the stigma on the stigma is a male. Right? Is that supposed to be? Huh? Am I wrong? Yeah, stigmas that holds are the pollen. Okay. Alright, so the pollen is supposed to be the seed thing and then the male thing and then the seed is supposed to be the female thing, right? Hey, not just what you study in biology, but in the Greek, sperma is what the word seed means. And it refers to the male. And that's the reason why we know that the seed is in the male, not in the female. In the female is the egg, but in the fruit they call it seed. Is that alright? You see, it's just the word in English. So now, why did God create Adam first? Because he's male or female. So, but we understand that he made him into a man. He's a man. Then God took out the feminine and make a woman for him. So there is a woman. So now why did God create male and female? In the animal world, you have male and female. If the sex was not supposed to be between a male animal and a female animal, between a bull and a cow, or a male dog and a female dog, and whatever it is out there, that God created them male and female so that they could copulate together and procreate, then why did God create them in the first place if we were not supposed to be like that? As it was in the animal world, so it was in mankind. God created them male and female. You see the point now. You see? So for anybody to teach the way that they told us, when is Adam supposed to speak to the dust? Eve supposed to speak to the dust. Who is supposed to speak to the dust? Eve or Adam? Well, Eve is supposed to wait for the spoken word. From who? From Adam? Oh, you're okay with for Adam. Then what? How does it work? They don't know. I guess they guessed. Maybe I guessed for them. Adam's supposed to come to Eve. All right, honey. I'm going to speak the word and you're going to get pregnant. And then you will have a son. So Adam speak the word. So then, Eve would have got pregnant. But then why is the sperma? Is the sperma in the spoken word book, in the spoken word? Or is the sperma in what already God created in the male? Huh? Isn't it? Oh, but they, well, you know what the brother would say? They're very clever to say. He said, but God, you see, God, just speak the word. So Adam was the son of God. Adam should just speak the word. No need for sex. And just the one German preacher told me, God created male and female was a backup. Was for backup in case the spoken word failed. How can the spoken word fail in the first place? I'm really confused, brother. Sister, I'm really confused. But well, that's the way it goes. But now understanding this, therefore, let us go to this email that I received. Document document one. Now, start from the bottom. Go all the way to the bottom first. Now, I remove the name of the person because we don't want to expose the person, all right? All right, now, this brother wrote me this email. Now, look at the date. Saturday, August 01, 2009. Now, that was last year. Okay? So, he wrote me now. Now, the thing is that his email had a subject called questions on marriage. Then he said, dear friends, this has been bothering me over a long time. According to the message of the hour, you see that he is, okay? According to the message of the hour, one, when is a vow to marry a woman forceful? Is it after promising a woman marriage or there are other steps to be taken? What if a man changes his mind after promising, hypocritically, a woman marriage? Is she still his wife or not? Two, what does the following scripture imply? Is it a rape case or just fornication that a man is forced to take a woman that he committed the act with? Then he quotes this verse, of course, from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 28 to 29. If a man finds a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. Question 3. Does the message of the hour, again, force a man to marry a woman that he bore an illegitimate child with? If a man or believer finds a woman, unbeliever, who had a child with another man before, after staying with that man and had promised to marry another man, then he falls and commits fornication with her. Later he hypocritically promises her marriage, not from his heart, just to please the woman. Then the woman believes the message. Does that vow hold? Is that brother obligated to take the woman even if he does not want to marry her? Thank you so much for your time and patience. Now, when I look at this email that came in last year then, well, I reply immediately, and this is my reply to him. Now, because his email was addressed to me as dear friends, I don't know whether he is sending it out to all the other ministers or not. Okay? So I asked him, now this is August the 1st, the day I received the same email, right? So I replied him there, I said, brother, are you asking me or others as in dear friend? I want to know, because I'm not a stupid person. Because I've been handling email and answering question, because I should. But there are ministers that you ask questions, you will never get a reply. They'll give you a whole bunch of quotes of blah, blah, that's what you get. And I don't want to deal with this nonsense. I want to be straightforward, all right, to do what I need to do. So I asked him that. Now this is his reply, came back, 2nd of August. So he said, dear brother, I'm asking you, and I put dear friends because I don't know how prophetic revelation handles that. Okay, fair. Now then let me go up now. Now this is my reply to him. And I said, brother, I would like first to hear from you what you yourself, in bracket, understand regarding those issues. Do not give me what other preachers said, but just what you yourself understand, as far as I'm concerned, from God's Word, the Bible, and not some quotes of Brother Bram regards. Now, this is August 3rd, 2009. After, 2 weeks and didn't hear from him, so I asked him, have you received this email? Okay? And that's July 19th this year. Okay, then he replied. Okay, this is his reply. He said, dear brother, again, I'm sorry for taking so long to respond to the email that you sent me when I sought for help from you in the form of the Word of God. The email I sent can be followed all the way below since we have been sending as replies. I also admit that I was displeased when you asked me to tell you what I personally believe. That's why he said he was displeased, because I asked him personally. Now, that's, my brother and sister, don't get offended when I ask you some question. Alright? If you do get offended with me because I'm telling you something, ask you something, then something is wrong with you, not me. We must always give an answer to the question we ask. Things that regards our life. Because I sense that something was wrong with this kind of email. That's why I personally ask him, give me your own understanding first. Okay. I'm sorry, brother, for my wrong character. And please apologize. That's good. This is how I believe it without quoting any minister, the prophet or the Bible. Please follow according to the way the questions are numbered as they appear below my personal opinion and belief. I personally believe that when I give a woman a promise for marriage under the disguise of lust to commit fornication, that promise does not bind me to her because I have not done it under good faith, but deceit. Do you understand what he's saying? Read what he's saying. I personally believe that when I give a woman a promise to marry her under the disguise because I want to fornicate with her. Alright? That promise does not bind me to her because it's a lie. It's a deceit. You got it? So now you young girls, be careful. You get all the boys outside, you men in school, say, I love you, Alan, let's go and make love, and then make love to you, you get pregnant, you hold a baby. The boy says, I'm going to marry you because I lied to you. Now I'm dealing with this because it's very common. It happened in Africa many times. Philippines, India perhaps. Huh? Okay, let's see what I say. Moreover, my heart is far from what I tell her. Brother Gunn, this incident happened to me. Now that's why he's hiding. But I disobey the church and those brothers who insist that I marry the girl whom I lured to have sex with when she was not a believer. And later the girl believed and also conceived. Now the child is in my hands, but the sister is in her hometown. For me, I personally believe this scripture to be talking about rape. The verse that he talked about. I don't believe the message of the hour forces a man to marry a girl or a woman whom he bore an illegitimate child with. I don't believe this kind of a brother is obligated to marry this kind of a sister. Now you see the word. I don't believe this kind of a brother is obligated to marry this kind of a sister. Brother Gam, this is how I stand in my belief. I may be wrong, but I want to get your personal view concerning this. The reason being, I've been reading your books and I like the magazine that Prophetic Revelation brings. Shalom. Let's see what I give him the answer. Now, this is the answer I gave him. And that was just, I think, about 2 weeks ago. Alright? Shalom. It is good to hear from you. Let me tell you straight. One, when a brother, now this is answer according to his question. When a brother tells me that he has sex with a girl, whether or not she is a believer is not important. Yes or no? Huh? Without any intention of marrying her, he committed fornication. Right? Sure, there is deception on the part of the brother for the satisfaction of his flesh. However, he committed an evil act in that he promised to marry her in the first place. Whether you lie to her or not, that you have no intention to marry her, you just lie to her, just because you want to have sex with her, that's true. Huh? That's deception. So, he make a vow and broke it, plus committing an act of deception to have sex with her. Two, now for you to claim that it was rape, it means that you have forced yourself on the girl without her consent. I believe that's not what happened. So you cannot claim it as rape. Correct? Then I said this, the girl listened to you and believed your words, your promise to marry her. Then she gave herself to you. So it cannot be rape, isn't it? Isn't that right? She consented, isn't it? You understand that? Okay? Rape is when you force upon a girl who have given no consent. You have already stated you deceived her. You did not force yourself on her. Did she fight you off when you approach her? You cannot use rape as an excuse. Even then, you're calling yourself a rapist. Are you such a one? Three, it is not about the message of the hour forcing or otherwise a man to marry a woman with whom he bore an illegitimate child. He used the word, right? Remember? How is the child illegitimate? Is the child not yours? It is not you being asked to marry a woman who had a child by another man. You got it? Therefore, how can you call that child of yours illegitimate? Did you not promise the woman that you marry her? Your lust got the better of you to commit a lie and a deception. That girl trusted you, believed you. No, nobody can force you into marrying her. You are the only person who has to come to terms with your Christian virtue. Next, obligation. Oh yes, you have obligation. The Bible teaches that in several places, you are told to make restitution towards the loss of the other party. You can read those verses. You have stolen, first of all, the virginity of the girl, her trust, her child's loss of a father, and she a husband. And if you say, I don't believe this kind of a brother is obligated to marry this kind of a sister, you have already condemned yourself, for you are this kind of a brother. If not, what kind of brother are you then? A God-fearing, Christ-loving, believing brother? If a girl is a believer and she is raped by a man, a believer or not, it does not matter. And the church says that she must marry that man, then that is wrong. She does not have to marry that man. If that man is a believer, he has brought shame to Christ and the church for his carnal act. He will have to be disciplined, and the girl is left with the choice to marry or not to marry him. Now, if a girl, a sister in the church, is single who is married by a man outside, okay, the church cannot force the girl to marry, the sister to marry the man. You understand? Because the man raped her. You understand? But this is what I got from a letter from Zambia years ago. The man said he had a great revelation. When a girl is raped by the girl is married to the man and is forever the wife of that man and must marry that man. Is that what the Bible teaches? That's the kind of brown mind that you will have upon this earth today. Man who doesn't even know what the Bible is talking about. Give him some kind of fancy. Huh? That means every woman who are innocent being waylaid by the man and got raped, and that woman is considered the wife of that man. Why do you get such law? Alright? But if a brother did that, that brother has shamed the church and Christ. Huh? And if she is in a church, the girl is in a church, it's up to the girl whether to marry her, him or not. But the girl don't have to. And the church cannot force her. You understand? Brother, you just have to face the truth of your action. That woman is actually your wife. If the law, Deuteronomy 28, 29, demands so what about grace? Or is grace is a ticket to sinning, whereby we can give excuses and get away with our actions? I think not. Do consider. May the Lord help you. Now this is the thing that... If the church doesn't know how to handle issues like this, then it's a problem. Let us be very serious about the hour we live in concerning this thing. Alright, now let's turn to the book of Leviticus. There's another subject which I don't want to deal with. Again, it's about sex. Sometimes the church doesn't want to talk about sex. The word, the three-letter word is worse than the four-letter words or something. Huh? But I love the four-letter word, L-O-V-E. Don't think that you have your, what mind do you have in your thinking of? Doesn't mean all the four-letter words are bad, huh? There's a whole lot of four-letter words that are good. Isn't it true? Yes. That's why the people have what minds in their head. So as he adds three-letter words, why does it look so bad? Read like as if it's a terrible thing. No. It's just like means that whether you're male or female, sex means also the, you know, two persons coming together in procreation, in marriage, or whatever, you know. I'm just telling you as it is. Some people don't like it. They cover their face, you know, in their hands or bury their head in the sand. All right, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 to 13. And the soul that's turned after such has had familiar spirits and after wizards. To go hauling after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statute and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, and his blood shall be upon him. And the man that commit adultery with another man's wife, even he that commit adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteresses the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And a man that lie with his father's wife have uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have rough confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with another man of mankind, as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, here, in this chapter here, it's all about the acts of immorality. Different kind of acts, whether it be incest, adultery, fornication, or bestiary. You know what bestiary is? Do you? Anybody? Do you know what bestiary is? Means a man sleep with an animal. Okay? Alright? You understand that? There are a lot of people that do that. Terrible. You know? As you said, bestiary, having sex with an animal. And that's why sometimes they say the ugly term, man is behaving like an animal. I agree with that. You see? So this is all about even men who sleep with men, woman who sleep with woman. Okay? Now the Bible here is one term, a familiar spirit in verse 6. Now the word familiar spirit is, people who, like Saul, for example, who wanted to go and who looked for the medium to go and consult the dead, things like that, and call up the dead thing. That is about familiar spirit. But the word familiar spirit sometimes is more than that. Sometimes we call that a spirit that is within a person that is passed on to another, to the same, passed on to the family. Okay? We call that familiar spirit also, in a sense, not that we looking for some spirit or to consult some medium to contact some spirit in that sense. Alright? But I want to use that term. Okay, let's go now to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Now I want to preach it and tell it to you like it should be. Alright, preach it like it is. I don't want to be like Joel Austin. You know Joel Austin? Probably you don't heard of him. Joel Austin is the son of John Austin. You know John Austin? A famous preacher in America. You know? Huh? You know him, right? I know, you probably don't. Alright, but you know the famous one. What is that one? The one who always fire. I ban him. You see, in America, a lot of preachers, when they establish the ministry and they get very big, they want their son to continue, you know, to be in the ministry line to preach. But you know, God don't call a father and then a son, you know, or a grandson and then a great-grandson down the line. That's only for the throne. Huh? Not for the ministry. You see? But that is how many preachers groom their son to continue. You know, if the son has his own calling, you don't have to worry. But the problem is that we have a lot of preachers in America because they have built such a great empire. They want to groom their children to continue. And so, Joel Austin took over the ministry and followed the footsteps of his father. And he has a church that has 60,000 people. But you know what happened sometime back in Larry King's life? And I was told anyway that Larry King is terminating himself from the program. But in one of the programs, Larry King was interviewing Joel Austin. And there was an outcry because of this interview, because in that interview, Joel Austin said this, that people can go to heaven, through other religion besides Christ. You know? And Larry King said, do you know what? Is that what you are saying? You mean to say there's other way besides Christ? Yeah, I said, you know, I'm not a judge. You know, I've been to India. My father was in India. You know, the Indian people, they are all very God-loving people, God-fearing people. Who are we to judge them? But you know, the Bible tells you there is no name given under heaven and earth whereby you may be saved. He's not going to preach it like it is. Why? What's popularity? Or he was saying he's afraid that when he turned it to the whole crowd of people, the public there, Those who are not Christian will take a gun and shoot him. Is he afraid of death or something? You know, if we cannot follow Christ to, you know, as the song said, if I die over in a foreign land, and it's God's will. So why are we so afraid of death? That we cannot make a stand for the faith that we have. We feel ridicule. I'm not afraid of all these others that come against me. It's all good. It shows I'm at least on the right track. It's better worry when you don't get attacked, you know. Then you know you're on the wrong track. You see? So let us go now to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 to 32. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, as far as God is concerned, alright? He is righteous. He gives you the word, and you have to follow the word, and you don't argue against those words. You understand? You cannot twist and turn, and then you make the word of God unrighteous, and he will suffer the wrath of God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. You understand? What do you think that God gave us the word? What did God give Israel the Ten Commandments? It's to show them that they are sinful. If there is no law, as Paul said, it doesn't condemn. But because the law is there, it condemns. You agree with that? Sure, you know. You see? If you drive down a road, and there's no speed limit signs, and you go 120, 150, right? So the police stops you. So why are you going so fast? So there's no sign to say I cannot go so fast. Everybody will say, you're right. But if there is a sign that says 80 kilometers, and you go 150, he stops you. You broke the law. The sign is condemned. Did you see the sign? Oh, yes. What does it say? 80. So how much are you going? You have no excuse. The sign condemns. The law condemns. Okay. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen from being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of and Godhead. So, they are without excuse. See that? We are without excuse. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made by corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Yeah. But don't you see that? Oh, go to India, you see a whole lot of that. It's a snake, huh, Brother Kari? Peacocks, that's bird, see that? Yeah? Four-footed animal, that's the cow. What a whole lot of things like this. Right. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Because you know why? When a person rejects the word of God, and give their own imagination, their imagination will pull them even to a more debased, levels in their life. Through the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own body between themselves. That's why we have pagan worship. You know, they worship animals, and say, oh, the snake will start to move, the peacock will start to feather, and they start to dance, and then they have woman, and man, a woman, and they have orgies in the temple. Do you understand? And then when they have orgies in the temple, between man and woman, a priest and the priestess, and after a while they experiment themselves between priest and priest, priestess and priestess, or even with animals. Those were the days back in the Hellenist time, when the Romans were in control. The Greek culture was terrible. The woman practically, going among the rich aristocratic society, half naked. You know. That's why Rome fell. because of that. That's why America is falling because of that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever? Amen. For this God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their woman did change the nature used into which is old against nature. That is the woman and woman, lesbianism. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust, one toward another. Man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which was man. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Because of the way they go on, God just give them up to the reprobate mind, godless mind, debased mind, evil mind, what do you call that, down in the cow dung mind, whatever you want to say, everything up there is all nothing but dung, let's just say. So reprobate that they cannot know God no more. You see? And then it goes on, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. You want malicious, huh? It's very, you know, want to always to take revenge. Okay? Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisper. No, malignity is always holding anger towards somebody. I hate the brother, John! You know, I hate that sis. You know, you feel this. Okay? Backbiter, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boaster, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient parents are common among children. You better not. You know? Without understanding, covenant breaker, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. Now those, they say, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You are just like them. If you don't believe their adultery is wrong, and you say, it's okay, it's okay. You are actually saying that, you said it's okay. You are actually having pleasure in them, that it's okay to commit adultery, or fornication, or lesbianism, or homosexuality. Let us go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. Oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such are some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, the issue here is homosexuality or lesbianism. Now, as I wrote in my book, let's read on the dynamics. I wrote it in my book. This is why I wrote it, and I just want to quote it so that you remember about this dynamics. Between the genes, do you remember? We know that after the fall, the people of Seth cross over to the other camp, the people of Cain, and marry their woman. And in the process, giants were born. Is that right? So now, the thing is that when you have gene pools that are so mixed, over time, there will be a flaw, or more flaws will develop out of this mixing in the gene pool. Now, you know, when I went for my treatments of my neck, this doctor, chiropractor, he's a Swedish man. He's a nice chap, and he showed me a photograph of his daughter, 2 years old daughter. Pretty good. Hey, oh, it's, and I realized it's mixed. I said, oh, it's mixed. He said, yeah, I married a Malaysian, you know, woman. And she's pretty. And I said this to him. I said, children born out of interracial marriage are usually better looking. He said, yeah, you're right, you're right. And that's what science discovered, you know, about this poo and all this and this and this and that thing, you know. And Simon discovered, he told me that Simon discovered that, you know, if you have someone that you like, there's a certain smell of your partner that you will attract to. You know, that means to say that it's compatible. If the smell is not up to your body, that means it's not compatible. You know, so I said, well, did you smell your wife out? He said, no, we just fell in love and got married. Yeah, that is practically true. There is a smell attached to every one of us. Do you know that? Yes. No matter how beautiful a girl is, and you think you like, you go near, and the smell of her puts you off, because sometimes they pour a whole lot of perfume, then you can't smell it. That's to hide it. You know? But in actual fact, the smell is very important. That's why animals are able to smell out. Even a male can smell out their own far away. You see? And they can tell which, some animal, if you look at the animal, well, you can tell, animal can recognize which one is theirs and the other one is not. And so don't think that it's not. God has put all this pheromone and chemical smell in our body. You see, for a certain reason. And so this gene pool. But when this gene pool began to mix so much that when you get, as I said this, if you get a person who has very high IQ, he's in a Mensa group. Maybe he got 200 and he married a wife with 200. Oh, the child born out maybe 50 only. Yes. That's what happened to one of the couple here in Singapore. You know, both very intelligent doctors. The two of his children, both of them, I think they only got two. They're all born mentally defective. Don't think it isn't true. Gene pool, when you start mixing up too hard, you don't know what is going to happen because it's not supposed to be like that. You see? So his best thing is to say, that's just like food. If you are eating rich food, lobster, crab, beef, lamb chop, caviar, what is going to think to happen to your body? That's why once in a while you must eat the good one, sometimes eat the not so good one. Is that right? Just plain porridge. Huh? And some vegetables. That's about what you should do. You know? But because of this mixing, over time, of course, you develop all kinds of strange birth. Giants, dwarfs, and whatever you have. But now we all came out of all this so many thousands of years. Right? Now, homosexuality and lesbianism is not something that is new. It dates back to Bible times. Okay? And when the societies or the nations or the empire get stronger, become very prosperous, the lifestyles of the people will change. And over time, because the lifestyle of people will change, there is a change in the society, the way that each individual will want to play his part. Now, look at Singapore today. We have a lot of young people. Well, parents are working. The children are left alone. Perhaps a maid. They don't have relationship with the parents, hardly ever. And that's why we see this become a society that is scary. Do you ever think of that? Okay. In the time of the Roman Empire, it's the rich. Many of them, they like to experiment. Okay? They experiment. The poor don't have the time to do that. They go and find food. They work in the field. Huh? They go out begging. But the rich society, they gather together for party. They have sex orgy. Men and women together. One with men, one with men, and then they turn man to man, a woman turn to woman. Then after they want to satisfy themselves, they take an animal into the room and have bestiality. That's what actually happened. God looked into it, the history of the Roman Empire, the fall, the background to it. That's what actually happened. Look at the French. France never was up. They wanted to be a country that produced the language French for everybody in the world to speak. Such a proud people. French people are very romantic. Eh? Very romantic language is a French language and all this. But they are proud people. See what happened to them? They produced to the world. What? Fashions? All kinds of crazy fashion. The bikini and whatever you have. Now, but there's not, of course, no longer a bikini, it's a monokini. Topless. America followed through. Hollywood, they absorbed those. Huh? They wanted the change of lifestyle because they are getting well off, so to speak. Singapore is just like that. Huh? Okay, in America there is some preacher called Ted Huggard. Ted Huggard. He was, of course, you probably have seen or you forgot about it. He has a good, great ministry, charismatic. But you know what? He was a homosexual. He paid a man to have sex with him. So he was exposed, so he stepped out. Huh? What's wrong? He's a Christian, a preacher. Have you of the Holy Ghost? If you have the Holy Ghost, would you think of anything so debased as that? You know? But today, okay. Well, we have homosexual. Effeminate. Okay, effeminate. The Bible says, effeminate cannot enter the kingdom of God. Adulterer, fornicator, homosexual can never enter the kingdom of God. But what do we read just now in verse 11? Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. But such, this is the word of Paul, to the Corinthian people. He said, such are some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the power of the Spirit of our God. Right? So can a homosexual be saved? Yes. But a homosexual can be saved but cannot go back to homosexuality. Can a murderer be saved? Yes. He doesn't go back to homosexuality. Can a liar be saved? Yes. If he's a constant compulsive liar or compulsive kleptomaniac, can be saved. But you don't go back to those because you are already redeemed. You should look for the power of Jesus Christ to keep you away from that. Sure. But today what we have in America, homosexual church. Because God created me like that. I'm created a homosexual. You said so? And the scientists will blame it on the gene. Let me say this about gene. So I'm telling you about what happened out there. In the garden, they bring all this. It's a mixing of the pool. The gene. Yes, every one of us have the serpent blood in us. Huh? That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't blame it on just the gene. Give us excuses. And if you want to blame it on the gene, every one of us can blame it on God. Right? Lord, I cannot help you. I wish I would lie. Because this is my gene. I can't help it, Lord. I like to slap people. It's in my gene. I mean, what kind of excuse do you have? You can have all kinds of excuses. That means the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is not there for you to, you know what I mean? Yes. Because why? First of all, let me say this. Let's read this, what I wrote in the book. So that you remember, there are two dynamics to take note about genes. Every living thing is fueled by a life force. Now this is not copied, huh? I don't plagiarize anybody else, huh? Because I already told you in my study of what all this, you know, this, what we call that, mutation, Mendel's law, you know? Okay? Hybriding. Everything is fueled by life force. You like it or not? Isn't it? Isn't it? That's why the, All these mystical religions said what they call the aura, the karma. They call all sorts of things, right? Sure, we all alive by a life force. When Satan infused his spirit through the serpent into his seed, Cain's behavior was basically motivated by Satan to oppose God's law and life. You know that, don't you? That's what he does. That's what the enemy does. And because of the serpentine genie now, that's why we people oppose God. Okay? That Cain was a big fella like his father. The serpent was just one dynamic. The other was how he reacted to the word of life that flows from God, that life that should be. Of course, Cain was a huge person. Why? It came from the gene of the serpent. But there's only one dynamic. But the other dynamic is what he's going to do. He has the life. He has the, what we call part of the image of Adam, right? Is that so? So what do you want to do? You want to let the Satan force you, or you want to let that which come from Adam, or through, through Eve, okay, pull you to the Lord, or you? Which one you want? That's always the opposite. That's one in the whole world. Well, the Star Wars movie, may the force be with you. Alright, the light one or the black one, the dark force or the dark side or the white side. That's what basically what it is. Okay? The other was how he reacted to the word of God that flows from God, that life that should be. Science cannot explain the spiritual side of genes. Because when you don't see the spirit in the gene, it's only what you see manifest. Okay? People have often been told that homosexuals cannot help themselves being homosexual because it's in their genes, because they have such a strong urge to only cohabit with another the same gender. By saying this, they are saying that it is not abnormal, but acceptable as it is a part of nature. Hogwash, if that be so. What about, say, a kleptomania, a liar, a child molester, a fornicator, and even a murderer? Should that be considered acceptable also just because of the strong urge they possess and they could not help doing what they do? Yes, we are all born in sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, says David. The serpentine nature in mankind is the dark and evil side of life force that seek to destroy man by drawing him away from the light and the truth and true and holy side of life that is found in the Word of God. This is what Apostle Paul explained, Romans 7:14 onward. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin. But what am I doing? What I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that what I will to do, for what I will to do that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not, for then if I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. But to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find it. For the good that I would do, I will to do, I do not. But the evil I would not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I would not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, if with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Satan will tempt every man and woman to destroy them. And that's what the Bible, James 1:14 and 15 says. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So how does a man become a homosexual? Or effeminate? You read in the, if you know the case of Singapore, one of the Singapore actress or actor who became an actress. Do you remember? You probably remember. Huh? Oh, you don't remember. She's a woman, he's a woman now. And she told her whole story. When she was young, he was fascinated by dolls. But the dolls, he was fascinated by You know, petite is the thing. The dress, you know, he's a man. He's a young boy, fascinated by this dress. Where was the father? Where was the mother? You know, it has been found that the father and son relationship is important. The son needs the what we call the example, the father's figure in the house. Come home, have a talk, chance to talk to the father. So father and son can talk and play together so that the father will set example and say, son, you are a man. Don't laugh. Act like your father. Right? Is that right, brother? You know? See, you see your father, accept your example. But you see, the son comes home from school, father is not there. What do you do? Go to the mother. All we do is the mother. Mother. Until you're so comfortable with the mother, you're quite comfortable being a woman even. There have been cases like this. Oh yes. Huh? Do you understand? Or if the parent, the father's not, and on the other hand, if the mother is too rough with the son, too rough with the son, until the son hates woman and turn to man, and the social with man, and get fascinated with the man. Sometimes a young boy find a man, he's maybe a small-sized boy, he say, man with this big muscle, I like it, you know. And then you always go to watch this man with big muscle beat up, you know, in the gym maybe, and then get an attachment. Because there's nobody to guide him. Here what happened, it's not a gene. Don't talk about it. It's what happened, it's the spirit that's working on the child. The devil will find every opportunity to manipulate the mind of everyone. Do you see what it is? It's not just the gene. Every one of us are susceptible. Do you know that? Yes. Every one of us are susceptible. When I was young, you think about it, some of you may not realize it. Go back. When I was young, when I was in school, I got a crush. You ever get a crush upon your teacher? A male teacher when you're a male, and a girl got a crush upon her female teacher because, you know, there's a crush. You know what I mean by crush? You don't have that experience. I don't know. Maybe you're trying to hide it. There are always sometimes you got a crush on a certain person, you know? You see? And if there's nothing to bring your senses to, you like the man, you like the teacher because he's good, you know, you're a male and he's a male. And you grow up always looking for what the male, you know. And you just don't like girl, you know. When the girl touch you, don't touch me. Yes. That's how the spirit works in the mind. And that's the reason why it's so important to nurture. Nurture versus nature. Don't say, always say, it's the nature, it's the gene. No, it's nurturing. That's how the Bible says, bring up a child in the way that he should grow. Go. When you grow up, you'll not depart away from that. You know? So, out there in the world today, familiar spirit is what it is. Familiar spirit. You know what happened? You know, Abraham. In closing, Abraham. Well, you know what Abraham did, right? Huh? He committed iniquity, isn't it? His son got it. And his son passed it down to his grandson. You see? It's a familiar spirit. Is it a gene? No. His father did it. Well, why can't I do it? And then my son comes and says, father did it, grandfather did it also. Why can't I do it? And it goes down. You see, it's a spirit that will hold on to these things. And that's why it's so important that who is our example in life? Who is our example in life? What do we go for? You see? Look at this charismatic church. Who is the example? Is the pastor's wife who is a pop singer? Right? So it's okay to be a pop singer. After all, the pastor's wife is a pop singer. You see? The pastor is a businessman. So it's okay. You know? I mean, if you are a pastor, of course you cannot be a businessman. But you see, people always look for somebody to follow. That's the reason why Paul told Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. Huh? That's why we are. Brother Branham has set up the example. Be sincere, be human, you know, be humble and all these things. And the Bible teaches us all to be contented with what we have. That's so true. Not lose our focus on what God given us. And that's so important for every one of us Christian. What is our focus? Huh? Who is the preeminent in your life? Focus is Christ. The Word always. The faith that we have. Focus on that. Don't lose your focus. When you see Christ, and also remember you must see the body of Christ. That's why it's so important that if you really love Christ and you are part of a body of Christ, then you should be a part of the whole body to, well, feel it. You see, there is someone who is weak, you should feel the pain. If someone is happy, you rejoice, as the Bible said. Otherwise, you lost your focus too. I'm just a Christian, I'm happy, going to church. No, that should be because the body of Christ is an organism. You should feel. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding, Lord, in this word of yours concerning this subject. We know, Father, there's so much things that's going on out there in different countries. We pray for this brother, Lord, whose email that we have just dealt with. I don't know where he comes from, where he lives, Lord, never say. But we know, Lord, he's just not the only one. The other like him also, Father, maybe in different parts of the world, in different churches who are caught up, Father, with this sexual problem. And having committed the act, Lord, will find some way, some excuses, Lord, to justify his action. But Lord, forgive him, and we pray that, Lord, as well, that wisdom to minister, so Lord, to be able to guide and deal with such things. For we are living in troubled times in the world today, in tumultuous time, O Lord, and the churches around the world too, Father, are faced with the challenges of preaching the truth. But we know, Lord, the light is going out if they fail to take heed, O Lord, to the very truth that you have given. We know so much, O Father, today for what you have given us to see. We ask for your grace, Lord, to continue to guide us and lead us, Father. Asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.